Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. We thank the Lord for the study that we could do together, the study of the Gospel of John, Yohanan, and I would like you please to turn with me to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, and today, in this ministry, I would like to share with you from John chapter 8, verses 21 into verse 47. And so please follow me as I'm reading these verses, and we'll trust that the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, will help us in the study of this wonderful Gospel of John. In John 8, verse 21, I begin to read, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Yeshua said unto them, Even the same as I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father, of the Abba. Then said Yeshua unto them, When ye have lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Yeshua to those Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. but now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Yeshua said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Well, beloved friend, these verses are such a tremendous verses to read in the Gospel of Yohanan, John. The words which Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of this world, was speaking when he was here on earth, speaking to his own nation, to the nation of Israel, to our own people, and those who did not acknowledge that he was the Mashiach, he had to confront them in such a strong way to show to them that by not accepting the fact that he is the Messiah, they were actually following that which the enemy of God, namely Satan, wanting men to do. Whether it is the people who were there some 2,000 years ago, or whether it is today, throughout the whole age of the human race, Satan is the one that seeks to harm humanity. He is a liar from the beginning. Satan is the one that have already came to the mother of humanity, namely Chava. And in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden, he told her, Has God said? He caused her to doubt. He wanted her to doubt the truth that God said, that he is indeed the one that is the creator. And when he gave an instruction, it should be followed after. Chava, that is Eve, doubted God's word through her husband Adam, and she violated the command that God gave to Adam by listening to the voice of Satan, eating from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, giving it to her husband. Her husband Adam ate of it, and he, in disobedience, plunged the whole human race into sin. In other words, in this passage, beloved brothers and sisters, found in John chapter 8, verse 21 to verse 47, we see how Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is speaking to the religious leaders of the day and showing to them that when they do not adhere to the word of God, really what they are doing is the work of Satan, listening to Satan rather than to listen to God himself. And it's applied to you and I today, my dear friend. You and I, if we realize what God says in his word and we don't adhere to it, we're really doing the voice of the enemy of God, which is Hasatan himself. Well, we have covered in the first 20 verses, and we saw how Yeshua presented in the first 20 verses of John chapter 8, there where he went to Mount Olives, in Hebrew, Har HaZeitim, down from Mount Moriah up to Mount of Olives, there looking, overseeing the Mount of Moriah, and here he was speaking there, and as we read here, he's the one that returned then early in the morning to the temple, and he continued to teach them again in the temple. And there in these first 20 verses, he began to teach there and to emphasize the fact that, as we have learned, the contrast between that which is of God and that which is not of God. If you remember, in the first verses 12 to 20, we have seen that he presented the fact that there is a contrast between light and darkness. And earlier, he have contrasted between that which is a truth and that which is false. If you remember when they brought before him this woman that was, that according to these religious leaders was caught in adultery, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah exposed them, and he forgave this woman, and he said to her, go and sin no more. And then, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, he presented himself as the light of the world. He is the true light which came into this world. He came for the purpose of bringing light into this world. I am the light of the world, verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so believing on him is receiving the light of life. Well, he continues now in verses 21 to verse 30. And our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, the giver of not only the provider of light, who is the light of this world, but he's the one that gives life, not only light, but also life. In Hebrew we say chaim. So in verse 21 on, of John chapter 8, he continued with his deliberation with the spiritual leaders of Israel. He said unto them, you remember, he's still in the temple. He's still teaching there by the treasury there in the temple. And he is confronted by the spiritual leaders of the day. So as they said to him, they were challenging him when the Pharisees said, you bear record of yourself and your record is not true. And then he presented himself before them and he told them, no, my record is true. The Father sent me, verse 16. In your law it is written, and the testimony that if two men speak, it is recognized as truth when there are two witnesses, and here is the Father, and here am I myself, and the Father that has sent me. Here are the two witnesses to the fact that I am the Mashiach. And so he continued now in verse 21, and Jesus, Yeshua, told the spiritual leaders that he is now departing. He is going to depart. You see, he is anticipating to go to the shameful cross, to die on the shameful cross for the sin of this world, and then to go back to heaven, to be resurrected and ascended to heaven. And so in verse 21, he said, I go away, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now imagine this expression, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. What a sad statement. You see, a person who is not a believer, whose sins is not forgiven, when he or she dies without forgiveness, they would die in their sins. In other words, their sins will remain upon them, and they will have to bear the consequences of remaining a sinner that has no forgiveness. And therefore, when a person dies without his or her sins forgiven, he or she died in their sins, they will have to bear the consequences of their sin. You remember what Scripture teaches us? That the wages of sin is death. And because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, The wages of sin is death, is separation. Separation from God eternally. But when a person has forgiveness of sins, then he or she are no longer going to be separated, no longer will die, will be separated from God eternally because their sins have been forgiven. See, that's what happened to a person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, because when he or she are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, they are forgiven. They are forgiven. And so here we read, you will die in your sins, and whither I go, you shall not come. You see, again, beloved friends, it's important for us to place ourselves some 2,000 years ago in the occasion in which Yeshua is speaking. Imagine, these are religious leaders of Israel. They knew the law, the word of God. They knew that the promises of the coming of the Mashiach was promised in the Hebrew scriptures. And here he came, and of course, while it was not easy to understand and to grasp that his divine nature, yet with the help of the Lord, when God is plowing our hearts and working in the hearts of individuals and by the Spirit speaking to one, that person, if he or she are submissive to the word of God, they will recognize this. You and I, who are believers today, some years ago, we rejected this ourselves. And it is the Spirit of God that worked in our hearts, that convicted us to see that we are sinners and we need forgiveness. And the Lord revealed to us that He, Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. And so He's telling them, I'm going away. You're going to seek for me. You will die in your sins. And where I go, you are not going to be able to come. Why? Because if they will die in their sins, they were never going to be able to be right with God. Sin separates us from a holy and a righteous God. And one, doesn't matter if it was then and there, some 2,000 years ago or today, beloved friend, if you have not repented of your sins and accepted the Mashiach, the Messiah, who became a substitute on your behalf, not your good works, not your good abilities, not your money, not your background, not your affiliation, nothing. What shall wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so he said to them, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. This is very sad, very moving to the heart, beloved friend. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. This is verse 22 of John chapter 8. So Yeshua is continued to explain. You see, they did not grasp it. They did not grasp it. They hardened their heart. They didn't want to recognize that he is the Messiah. They have already observed the miracles that he has done. They have already seen what he has done in the midst of the nation. He have already have declared himself earlier as the bread of life. I am the bread of life in John chapter 6. He now already declared, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8. But again, when the hardness of the heart comes in, when religion take over rather than indeed the word of God, then there is a loss. Then there is hardness and a blindness. And so they said, well, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. And so Yeshua in verse 23, Yeshua told them, he pointed to a complete contrast. And he said, ye are from beneath, you are human, but I am from above. I am the man, but I am God the Son who became a man. I came from heaven. I am from above. Ye are of this world. You have been created by God. But I am not of this world, because he was the one that came from heaven. Again, to remind you that John, emphasizing the deity of the Messiah who came from heaven, he became a man. And if you remember, every time when we speak together and mention this once and again, we have already emphasized it, and we will continue to emphasize the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God, but he was also God, a distinct personality in the Godhead, and yet divine God. Verse 14 of John 1, and the Word became flesh. He took union, humanity, with his divine nature. So that's why he's saying, Yeshua is saying, ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are from this world, I'm not of this world. You see what he said in verse 23? I am not from this world. I am the man that came from heaven. That reminds us of the passage that Shaul Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to seek to instruct the believers at Corinth when he said to them in verse 47 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first man is of the earth, earthy. This is Adam, and you and I, who are his descendants by nature. But he continued, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Ha'adon min ha'shamayim, the Lord that came from heaven. You see, we have to realize that he, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is God the Son who came from heaven. The first man, that is Adam, is of the earth. He is earthy. But the second man is the one that came from heaven, the Lord that came from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. And so he continued and he said in verse 24 of our chapter, John 8, Yeshua once again pointed the fact here, as we have here, that he is the one that came from heaven. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Verse 24. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's emphasizing this once again in verse 24. You have already said to them in verse 21, ye shall die in your sins. Now repeating this. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am he. Now that he is that I am the Mashiach, the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am the one that came from heaven. At the end of the Gospel of John, the verse that we repeat in our deliberation, in our ministries, as we share together the fact that that's what John was trying to emphasize as he presented this fourth gospel. We read in John 20, verse 31, but these things or these miracles that are written here in this gospel are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Yeshua, who HaMashiach, is the Messiah, the Son of God, and yet believing ye might have life through his name. And so he said in verse 24, you, if you not believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You know how many times he repeats that? In verse 21, ye shall die in your sin. In verse 24b, ye shall die in your sins. Again, in verse 24, ye shall die in your sins. Again and again, he is repeating the word, ye shall die in your sins. But one does not have to die in his sin or her sin if they will believe on him. That's why Yeshua has emphasized, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So the leaders asking, they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even as I, the same as I have already said unto you from the beginning. I have already told you who I am, he said to them. I have told you this from the beginning. I am the one that was sent by the Father. I am the one that is the promised one of Israel. I am the one that came down to this world in the fullness of the time in order to provide redemption for man. I am that one. I am the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer. Already in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, when they ask John the Baptizer, when they ask him, "Who are you?" He says, "I am not the Messiah. But I am a voice of one that is crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." As he said, as the prophet Isaiah had said. And then he presented Yeshua before them when Yeshua came, and he said in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Look at him. He is that Lamb that God sent to this world. So, in verse 25, they ask, "Who are you?" So Yeshua is responding in verse 25 and verse 26. He said to them that I already told you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And you notice he used the word here, the world, because that message that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world is for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the same challenge that he challenged the early leaders of Israel in days of old, he's challenging men today. Because the Lord Jesus is speaking the things that God has sent him to this world to say. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now again, I know it is not easy to grasp for us who are human, that this man that walked here some 2,000 years ago is the eternal Son of God. And that he was always in the bosom of the Father. And he entered into this world to take upon himself human nature for the purpose of providing salvation. John said earlier, in verse 18 of chapter 1, "No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." John 1 and verse 18. Notice it says there, "No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is," not which was, "which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him." In other words, beloved friend, it is so important to understand that Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord, at the same time that he was walking upon the face of this earth, he was at the same time in the bosom of the Father. It's a real mystery, and yet the scripture is so clear. Why? It can be because he's God, and because he is the creator of all things, he is the upholder of all things, he took union humanity with his divine nature, and he never left the bosom of the Father because he is divine and human at the same time. This is amazing. This is theology that one have to grasp and understand. And so we continue here with the discussion that he has with the spiritual leaders of the day. And he continued, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, to say in verse 27 to the leaders of Israel, they did not understand as whatever he said to them. So it says here in verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. You see, they couldn't grasp it. And in a sense, we can understand that because, humanly speaking, it is impossible to understand unless the Holy Spirit of God unfolds this before us. Humanly speaking, we will never grasp it. It must be a divine work. You remember when Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, we read, When Yeshua asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And you remember what Shimon Petros said in verse 16? He said, "You are the Mashiach, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Yeshua said to him, Jesus said unto him, he said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Yonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, my dear friend, it is only by the revelation of God the Father, in the power of God the Holy Spirit, that you and I can even grasp it. That the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Yeshua is the Messiah, and he is the Son of the living God, Ben Elohim Chaim. It's not possible to understand it. Humanly speaking, we are blind. Satan blinding the mind of them that believe not. Humanly speaking, because of our sinful nature, we cannot see this. It must be a divine work in our own hearts. In fact, even Shaul, Paul had to mention this to the Corinthians when he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You see, it is not possible, humanly speaking, for one to understand, but if he or she, any man, any woman, from any nations of the world, will be broken before God and ask God to reveal himself and to reveal these truths, God is willing, he wishing, he want to, but one had to be broken before him, confessing his or her sins before the living God, and God will reveal this unto that person. You and I on our own would have never come to the Lord. The Lord have drawn us and opened our hearts to understand what we understand today. So we praise God for what he has done. So now, Yeshua is now predicting his death. They didn't understand that he spoke about him and God the Father. So Yeshua is continuing and he's predicting in verse 28 his own death, saying that he will be lifted up. He's presenting here the cross, the Roman cross. "Then said Yeshua unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." Notice he used this expression, lifted up. Lifted up is a reference to the cross. The Messiah, Yeshua, will be lifted up on a Roman cross. He will not be stoned, but he will be crucified. Exactly as the prophet, that is David, said in Psalm 22, "They pierced," prophetically, "they pierced my hands and my feet." The Messiah was going to be killed by crucifixion, and therefore he will be lifted up. In John chapter 3, in verse 14 we read, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Son of Man, Ben Adam, the Mashiach, the Messiah, it's a messianic title. He must be lifted up. John chapter 3, in verse 14. Later on, we will read in John chapter 12, in verse 32, we will read, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Yeshua will speak about this again. Again, the reference is to his death. Lifted up was he to die. And he had to die on the shameful cross to be pierced, according to Psalm 22, what David, the king of Israel, prophetically spoke of the Mashiach, that he will be pierced. "They pierced my hands and my feet." And indeed, the Romans pierced him in his side and nailed him to a shameful cross. his hands and his feet. Sad, isn't it? Yet it had to happen. The reason that the Messiah came to this world is to be the one that will provide redemption for all humanity. He must die. He is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world before a holy and a righteous God. He is the one that can give to all who believe on Him forgiveness, justification, eternal life if one believes on Him. You see, nowhere you can find this today in this world. People are trying to be justified with God on the basis of all kind of human merits. They try to do good. They pay money. They try to be kind. They are keeping various traditions, whether it is our own people, Israel, or whether it is in a Christendom world or in the whole world today. People try to be religious and they think that all sort of customs and way whereby they are going to do some things to please God. But my dear friend, let us remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Let us remember that it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, the sinful soul. And therefore, someone who is an innocent, holy person has to become a substitute. He must die. He must be punished on the behalf of the guilty, you and I. Just like of old, as God has given to our own people Israel the sacrificial system, because the sacrifices typify the coming of the Mashiach. Animals were killed. Why? To shed their blood. Why? To point to the Messiah. And why did he have to die? So that you and I, my dear friend, who would believe on him, will have forgiveness of sins. He simply was separated from a holy and a righteous God. This sinless man, the Mashiach. That's why it says here, the Son of Man. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Notice, not the Son of God here, because God is divine person. He will never die. But as man, he must die as a substitute, the just for the unjust, in order to bring sinners like us to God. And then he said in verse 28, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which pleases him. Now here is, my dear friend, something that we all need to grasp, with the Lord's help, of course, not on our own, that as we have already read in John 1 and verse 18, we have already read that and emphasized it. No man have seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. So here we can see that it's not the Father that forsook him. Because God the Father was always pleased with him. But God the Father is also a judge. He is a holy and a righteous God. And so he judged the man, Christ Jesus, the man Yeshua HaMashiach. That's why in Matthew chapter 27, Yeshua cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did not cry, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But no, he cried, my God, Elohi, Elohi, lama azavtani. I know it is not easy to grasp, but God is a judge who must judge sin. So as a judge, he judged the man, Yeshua, Jesus, in his humanity. But the Father has never left the Son. As we read in verse 29, the Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleases him. And you see, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came to do the will of the Father. Always, always, from his birth till his death, he always did the will of him that sent me. We read in John chapter 4. It's a beautiful passage in previous chapter that we have already read. In verse 34, we read, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That's why he came. His food was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. In John 6, we have already read it. Verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And now once again, in verse 29 of chapter 8, "For I do always those things which pleases him." You see, that's why he was God's Lamb. That's why God could accept Yeshua's substitutionary work on the cross on behalf of all humanity. That's why he is the Lamb of God, Se Ha Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only atone for the sin of the world, not only cover the sins of the world, but take them away. And that's why he came to this world. And so we read in verse 30, "Many believe on him." Notice it says here, "As he spake these words, many believe on him." But we have to realize that there was always a mixture. Many believe on him because of the miracle that he made. Many believe on him for one reason or another. And of course, there were those who did believe in him because they recognized that they have sinned and they needed him as the Messiah and that he was indeed the promised one of Israel. But some believe on him just because of the miracles, just because of the things that were miraculous, unique, and they believe on him for the sake of that fact that he was a man that was unique and special, but they didn't realize that he was indeed the Messiah himself. And that's why even we have already looked at it in chapter 2, where many believe on his name because of his miracles, but he did not commit himself to them. In John chapter 2, in verse 23 and 24, "And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast of the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." But we read, Yeshua did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Well, notice this. Many, according to here, many believe on him, as we read here in verse 30. So you notice that he presented before them, before the leaders and all who heard him, the contrast between life and death. "Those that reject him, you will die in your sins," he said to them. "But those who will believe on him, they will live eternally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3 and verse 16. "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So from here on, beloved friends, dear brothers and sisters, in verse 31 on to verse 47, Yeshua presents himself as the one that can provide freedom from sin. Sin causes us to be in bondage. So here the contrast is between true freedom for the believers in Yeshua the Messiah, freedom from the judgment that we deserve because of faith in the Messiah, in contrast to bondage because of sin, which will lead one to death, to eternal separation. And so Yeshua continued in verse 31 to verse 47. He challenged all to believe on him and to continue to follow after him and become his disciples, to abide, to remain with him, to follow after him, and not only to say, we believe, but not really accept him as their Lord and Savior. This is very important because one day one will have to stand before God. And many who will only be professors and not really confessors, did not really acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior, will find themselves eternally separated from him. And that's why he is challenging them that claim to believe on him in the days that he was among the people of Israel. He is challenging them in the next portion of scripture of John 8, 31, all the way to 47. He is challenging them to follow after him, to make it real, to make it genuine. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, when Yeshua earlier spoke these words in the Sermon on the Mount, he already said and gave warning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 continue, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And listen to his response. It says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Lo yadati otchem. Notice he doesn't say, I used to know you and now I don't know you anymore. He doesn't say, I used to know about you. No. I never knew you. I never had any relationship with you. You were never belonged to me, spiritually speaking. You were never born from above. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Even though you claim to say that you in his name have prophesied, in his name cast out demons, in his name have done many wonderful works, but in reality, the issue here, the issue of salvation, one must be born of the Spirit of God. One must be born again. You remember, he have already said this. Yeshua said it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 3 and verse 5. So now notice this, beloved friend, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto the Jews which believe on him. Notice they believe on him, but we can see now that they believe on him just because of the miracles, or because that he have done things that caught them and captured them, but he wanted them to believe, not because of the miracles, not because of only his words, but they must believe on him as the one that is the Mashiach, the Messiah, as everyone have to do so today in every generation. Not to have merely a religious life without salvation. And how dangerous it is, because we are all, if we are not tender, opening our hearts to accept and inviting him into our life as the Messiah, the Savior and Lord, one who merely believe on him because he was a miracle man, it's not faith unto salvation. So Yeshua said to them in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You have to believe on me, continue in my word, and then you will be my Talmidim, my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, Yeshua, he knows that we are the measure, the light that we have. We need more light, more help from him by the power of the Spirit of God to understand better the things of the Lord. And so apparently these individuals believe on him, but they did not believe on him in order to accept him as their Lord and Savior and Mashiach, the Anointed One. That's why he said to them, okay, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, be'emet, really my disciple. Continue on. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, the truth always set free. The truth is found in a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Yeshua said in John chapter 14. So they answered him and said, notice how you can see that they did not grasp what Yeshua is seeking to tell them. Because they said in verse 33, those leaders here said, we are Abraham's seed. Notice they answered and said, we are Abraham's seed. And we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You see, it is a privilege to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had blessed Abraham and promised Abraham that through him and through his descendants, there will be blessing to this world. The Mashiach, the Messiah himself, is a descendant of Abraham, Yeshua himself. And the promise that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and the 12 tribes is a tremendous promise. And what a privilege to be a descendant of Abraham, but it's not enough to be a descendant of Abraham by natural birth, because being naturally, physically a descendant of Abraham is not sufficient unto salvation. Because if one is merely a descendant of some great man or great person, that does not entitle him eternal salvation, because Abraham has sinned, Isaac has sinned, Jacob has sinned, Israel has sinned, the 12 tribes of Israel have sinned, and you and I have sinned. All have sinned. All of humanity have sinned. We individually need to have our sins forgiven. Abraham offers sacrifices. Abraham believed God, and the sacrifices covered his sins, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You and I have to believe God, to believe his word, to believe in the person of Yeshua the Messiah. And so they said, well, we were never been in bondage to any man. How you say that ye shall be made free? They assumed, you see, that's the problem. Because assuming if I'm a physical descendant of Abraham, I'm fine. And that's why even today, my dear friend, we have to be very careful for some who say, well, my parents are Christians. My father and my mother are believers in Jesus the Messiah. Therefore, I am. And there it is so dangerous because the scripture teaches us in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, verse 13 of John 1, not of blood, not natural birth only, nor of the will of the flesh, not even if our parents would like us to belong to God. It's not of the will of man, not if any other man, if you and I wish for somebody else to be a believer, it doesn't even work. But everyone individually must be born of God. Let me read you these verses again. In verse 12 and 13 of John 1, but as many as receive him, this is individually, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you don't believe on him, you are not a child of God. Then he says, which were born, verse 13, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. One must be born again. One must be one that is accepting the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, as his or her Lord and Savior. So they said, we are Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to no man. How sayest thou that he shall be made free? And so Yeshua answered, for verse 34, he continued to answer, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Do you know this, my dear friend? You and I who committed sin, we are really servants of sins. Because sin is controlling the life of the individual, and we sin, we serve sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. In other words, if we serve sin, we will never be able to abide in the house of God, never be able to be in relationship to God, because sin has to be paid for. And just like in an ordinary home, when you have a regular son who is a son of the parent, and they have a servant that serves in the house, the servant is only serving in the house. He is not a son. And that's why Yeshua said, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. In other words, you have to become born again and become a son of God, a child of God, a forgiven person that will become part of the family of God. If the son shall set you free, if the son shall make you free, verse 36, ye shall be free indeed. That son is the son of God. Yeshua the Messiah is God the Son. He is the one that abideth ever in the bosom of the Father. He came to this world to provide redemption. He is the son that is able to make us free from our sin and judgment. Then one can be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your Father. In other words, what he's really telling them, Yeshua the Messiah, he said, I know you are Abraham's descendant, but why do you want to kill me? And the reason is because the word of God, my word, is really have no place in you. You reject me. My dear friend, if you reject today the Messiah, if you reject today the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, it doesn't matter what relationship you have and whatever position you have, Jew or Gentile, whoever we are, if we reject the Messiah, we really are the one that are losing out. And we are doing not the work of God, but we are doing the work of Satan. Because it says in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen from my Father, Yeshua is saying. But on the opposite, you do that which you have seen of your Father. Now initially, they would think that this is Abraham. But the Lord will show them that unbelievers, rejecters of Yeshua the Messiah, really doing the work of Satan. Satan is the father of lies. He is the father of all of us by nature, unbelievers. And he is the one that beguiled Eve. He's the father of lies. And he's the one that the first sin that entered into the whole universe, even before humanity, was Satan himself, Lucifer, who said, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to dethrone God and committed the sin of pride. And God have cast him down to this outside of his presence. And ultimately, Satan became the prince of the power of the air. In Isaiah chapter 14, we read of how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst waketh the nations? For thou hadst said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt the throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. This is the fall of Satan, Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and on. And so notice, initially when he says, you are doing the work of your father, so notice what they said. In verse 39, they answered and they said unto him, Abraham is our father. And you see how the Lord is showing them, well, Abraham, yes, is your father. He's Abba, the father of all the nation of Israel, but he's going beyond Abraham to the father of lie. Abraham was a man of God who trusted God, and God have counted it to him for righteousness. But unbelief of any person is showing to us that we have really obeyed the voice of Satan, who want us to reject the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. If you were the Abraham's children, verse 39b, ye would do the work of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. See how Yeshua is taking these spiritual leaders of the day and show them that by rejecting him, they do not the deeds of Abraham, but the deed of Satan. It says in verse 41b, then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We are not illegitimate children, what they are really saying. We are physical descendants of Abraham. We are really, what you say, the physical descendant. It is again, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, it is a privilege to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be part of the descendants of Abraham. But the descendants of Abraham must come to believe in the very same God of Abraham and the promised Mashiach which he had promised to send. It's not sufficient to be physical descendant. One need to be much more than just that, individually, to accept God's word and to appropriate this to one's life. So Yeshua said to them in verse 42, notice how he continued in verse 42 all the way to verse 47. Yeshua said, if God were your father, ye would have loved me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In other words, when they say we have one father, even God, and we are not born of fornication, and we have God as our father, yet Yeshua is showing to them, okay, if God is your father, then you would have loved me, who is his son, the Mashiach. I proceeded forth and I came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And notice what he says in verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. That comes from the Greek word diabolos. In Hebrew, Satan. And that's where we began the whole scripture in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, when Satan appeared there in the garden to beguile Eve. He is the one that have already in the beginning have already caused, influence men to fall into sin. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's how he began to sow doubt in the mind of Chava. He is the one that sowed doubt and become, you might say, the originator or the one who brought sin into this world. He is the one who first of all fell into sin, and now in the Garden of Eden he influenced Eve and ultimately Satan, influenced also Adam, and Adam himself had plunged the whole human race into sin. And so we read here in these verses in John chapter 8, as Yeshua is saying such a strong words, hard to read, but how true it is for them of old and for anyone today who is not accepting the Messiah, because we realize that Satan is your father, the devil, and you are, he says, ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye do, ye will do. He was, notice that, he takes us all the way back to Genesis 3. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That takes us all the way to Genesis chapter 3, but even further to what happened before he came to the Garden of Eden, where he is the one that says, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to take the place of God, and up till today, according to the scripture, he is called the God of this world, my dear friend. The Bible teaches us, and the Apostle Shaul Paul said this. He said this in writing to the Corinthians. He said, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, the small g, the God of this world, has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. Beloved friends, it's amazing, this statement. In other words, Satan is the father of all who reject the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, because from the beginning he was the one that was the murderer that brought death into this world by beguiling Eve, who have eaten from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, my dear friend, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You notice that? Earlier, we have already read that they believe on him. And that's why Yeshua said, if you will continue in my word, then you will be my disciples. But you find out, beloved friend, that their faith, not all, some truly believe on him, some truly followed him and accepted him as the Messiah, but there were those who were saying that they would believe on him, but he knew their hearts. And that's why Yeshua said in verse 45, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And then verse 46 of John 8, which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, I love this expression. Which of you convicting me of sin? You see, Yeshua the Messiah is the sinless one. He is the sinless one. Paul, Shaul, wrote of him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he says, he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Paul wrote about Yeshua the Messiah when he wrote to the Corinthians. Peter, who also wrote to the early Hebrew believers, he said to them in 1 Peter chapter 2 about Yeshua the Messiah, verse 22, he said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There was no sin in our blessed Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. John Yohanan also, after he wrote this gospel in his epistle, he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, Yohanan, John also wrote concerning the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So the man of knowledge, Shaul, Paul said he knew no sin. The man of action, Peter, he said he did no sin. And the man of affection, John, Yohanan, said in him there was no sin. Amazing. And Yeshua says here in John 8 and verse 46, which of you convict me of sin? There is no sin in Yeshua the Messiah. That's why he is the only one who was qualified to be the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. And so we conclude with this, my dear friend. Which of you or I can convict him of sin? He is the sinless one. That's why he died, he was buried, and he rose again for our justification. And if you believe on him, you will have everlasting life. My dear friend, what a wonderful truth it is to understand that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came to give his life for us. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Verse 47, he that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And my dear friend, are you of God? Are you of God? Well, if you believe God, and you believe God's word, and you will ask God to show you the truth concerning Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah, if you will recognize him, recognize the truth shall set you free. And here's the contrast. If we are not believing on him, we are in bondage to sin. But anyone that believes on Yeshua the Messiah, the truth shall set you free. Well, may God bless you, my dear friend, and encourage us all as we continue together in the study of the Gospel of John, which present before us the divine nature of Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. God bless you, my dear friend. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.